Dane, May, and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
Church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
Good afternoon. This is David Ewers, Pastor David Ewers with Maranatha, a church of worship, the word and healing. How are you guys doing today? I pray that all is well. I can see that I have a lovely audience that is listening this afternoon, and I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. Before we get into the word of God, I want us to pray. Father God, we come before your divine presence. Father God, we lift you up. You are the Most High God. You are our anchor. You are the Bishop of our soul. Father God, we declare, Lord God, that you are our El Elyon. You are the Most High God. There's no circumstances, Lord God, that is over you, Father. So, Father God, we come before you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. As we pray, Lord God, for the listeners, Lord God, that are listening this afternoon, we pray, Father God, for your grace, Father God, to deliver your word, Lord God, accurately and specifically, that the people, Lord God, that hear the word, Lord God, will be blessed as a result. We pray, Lord God, for this radio station, that you may continue to bless and to favor them. May they have no lack, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, as they use this vessel, Father God, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're such a wonderful God, and we acknowledge you. We bless you. We glorify your holy name. And Holy Spirit, you said at the entrance of your word, it gives light, it illuminates us, that we may see deeper, Lord God, into your word. Help us, Lord God, to grow and to have a more robust prayer life, Lord God, as we engage with you, Father God, and get to know you, Lord God, in a deeper and a more profound way. We ask, Father God, for your blessing upon this time. We ask all these things, Lord God, in Jesus Christ, and we pray. And every person said, amen. Well, I'm so delighted to come before you again and just to have the opportunity to teach on this subject matter. I believe praying is an important subject matter. Sometimes we don't realize how powerful our prayer is. A lot of times when I look into the Word of God, I saw when the apostles in Acts, when they prayed, the scripture says that the place shook because of their prayer. We know that things happen, and also God cannot do anything on the earth unless we pray, unless we literally give him permission. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but the fact is that in Genesis, God gave man the dominion over the earth, and he says, let them have dominion. And as a result, now man holds the responsibility to care and to take care of the earth. And in order for God to come back in and to do anything into the earth realm in which he gave man, we have to now pray and give him now the permission to now do things in our realm, in our earth realm. So we see that's the reason why the Our Father prayer, we see an example. It says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That shows me that his will is not being done everywhere in the earth. Then that's where we pray. Very important. I believe also in 2 Chronicles, it talks about if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will we hear from heaven, you will heal our land. So praying is very important. And I believe that the reason why I'm spending a lot of time on this subject matter of teach me how to pray. And I pray that as we go through this subject matter, that you will absorb what is being taught, but also apply what is being taught. Now, why is it important to teach the Word of God? I believe that, just a kind of side note here, we have to realize that we are spirit beings. You know, we were created in the very image of God. We were created in the very image of God. Therefore, when God created us, He blew His Ruha into us, into man. We became a living being. We are now a human spirit. And the thing is that we have to realize that we are human spirits. We were created in the very image of God. But we have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your intellect, your soulistic realm. But we live in this shell or house called the body. What you look at in the mirror, that's your body. And your spirit man is now looking through the windows of your eyes. Glory to God. But the real you is that spirit man. And I believe it's very important that you go to the right church and you are a seed and you put yourself in the right atmosphere, under the right pastor, on the right leadership, on the right tutelage. Then what happened is that that man of God or that pastor, that set person in that house now speaks into your life by preaching, teaching, or you know whatever it may be. And as a result, the words that come forth out of his mouth are anointed words. That's why it's important to be placed and to be situated in the place where God has for you. Don't just go to a church because it has a great Sunday, it has an after-school program or the things that they have to offer. The first thing should be, are they preaching the Word of God? Is this man sent from God? Am I in a place where I am growing? Yes, the kids are being entertained, yes. But the main thing is, am I growing? Are my children growing? Are they getting the Word of God? Because we see, for instance, like in Romans chapter 10, verses 17, it says, Pastor, why are you spending so much time on this? I believe it's important. It's important that you know. In Romans chapter 10, verses 17, it says, faith comes, or faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in some certain texts, it actually says, hearing comes by the Word of Christ, meaning Christ speaks of anointed or anointed one. So if we look at it closely, it means faith cometh. Your faith in a particular area might be healing. You need faith in that area. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing an anointed word, an inspired word from God. That's what gives you faith. And that's what grows your spirit man. And sometimes you ask me, Pastor, could you explain that to me? What do you mean by our spirit, our human spirit? I thought I was just body. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's look at, for instance, like 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to get right into the fourth hindrance of prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23. Now read along with me. It says, now may the God of peace, that word comes from the word Irene, or in the Old Testament it's called Shalom. When you see a Jewish person will greet another person, they'll say Shalom. That word encompasses and it speaks of wellness, peace, happy, favor, and it's like so much that all is well when you see that word peace. It says, let the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Okay, he wants me to be sanctified completely, entirely. May your whole spirit, catch this now. Now look at this, the distinction that's made. May your whole spirit, comma, soul, comma, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a distinction that's made between our spirit, our soul, and our body. Yes, we spend a lot of time, we go to the gym, and we go on a treadmill, and we run the body, we make sure it's in shape, and we build our body. We eat the right food. Yes, yes, that's good, and we have to do that because we are tripartite being. And also we deal with the soul, our mind, our will, our intellect. We go to the best colleges and we make sure in the university we read a good, great book, inspired, yes, and we build our from a soulistic realm. Now, our spirit is what is neglected now because it's our, and that's the most important part. That's the part that speaks to God. That's the part that contacts God. That's the part that worships. Now, in that human spirit, a man has a heart. When you talk about a heart, it speaks of the core of that individual, the core of who that being, the middle, if you heard like a heart of an apple, or get to the heart of the matter, it's the core of that human spirit, and that's where we contact God. So also we see like in Job chapter 32, verses 8, it says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. So when I come on, you know, every Monday afternoon, whatever it is, what happened is that your spirit is engaged. And as I'm speaking the words, these are anointed words that are going forth. And sometimes you might feel like a tingling on your hands, or your, some people, you know, feel the anointing different ways. But there is an impartation that takes place as I'm speaking to you. You are being changed. As I'm speaking to you, you are being affected because of the anointing that's upon my life. So it's important that you go to the right church. It's important that you plant yourself in the right church. Don't just come just to be coming, but come because God has said, hey, this is the place where I should be because I want to grow. I want my children to grow. I want my family to grow in a family setting. And I believe that Maranatha has to offer that. When you get a chance, give us a call, 561-383-6574. Now, we have been talking about the hindrance of faith. There's a lot of things that we have talked about. First of all, we talked about doubt being a hindrance to our faith. We talked about unbelief as a hindrance to our faith. We also talked about unforgiveness, which is a hindrance of faith. And I believe that's where we kind of lodge. And I just want to kind of talk about that a little bit today. Now, let's talk a little bit about forgiveness and unforgiveness, which is the fourth hindrance of our prayer. When we pray, these are certain things that we need to address. We have to address unforgiveness because what happened is that it blocks and it hinders from our prayers of being answered. Now, we talked about unforgiveness, and we defined the word forgive. Let's kind of go over it again. The word forgive comes from the word afo ame, which means to send forth. When you speak of someone forgiving, it means to send forth or to send away. Apo means from, and himi means to send away. So when you when you forgive someone, what you're actually doing is that you're sending or removing the cause of that offense. When you forgive your daughter, when you forgive your dad, when you forgive that person that wronged you, what you have to do is that you send that offense away. And we see also, we talked about in Mark chapter 11, verses 22. I'm just going to give you some chance to kind of turn with me. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Let's start at verse 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly or verily I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things when you ask, pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. 25 is the point I want to kind of highlight. And whenever you stand praying, okay, when you're getting ready to pray now, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven also may forgive your trespasses. 26. But if you do not forgive, catch this now, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So it's very important that we forgive. Because what happened is that when we hold someone in our heart and say we refuse to give, what happens is that it's just bringing a damage to you. It's bringing damage to your physical body. It's bringing damage to your soul. And it's also putting a wedge in your spirit man. We see in Matthew chapter 6, verses 12, the familiar prayer, our Father's prayer, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. We see Stephen, when he was being stoned, he was asking for forgiveness. Now, when we look closely at this word forgiveness, it locks or it holds the hand of love. Let me say that again. When we look at the word forgiveness, it holds the hand of love. They go hand in hand. Hand in hand. Those that are familiar with the Ten Commandments, yes, and I'm sure you are. The Ten Commandments, we probably could just list them off one by one. You know, some of them is do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness, do not covet your neighbor's house. Love the Lord thy God, and no graven images and so forth. We see in Exodus chapter 20 when the Ten Commandments were given. But then when we look now in the New Testament, and for instance, Matthew chapter 22, verses 36, I'm going to turn with me. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36. You got it? Okay, good. I'm kind of taking my time today. Now it reads, let's start with verse 36. It says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it." You catch that? "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Let me read that again. On these two commandments, what two commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law of the prophets. Now, this is very important because we talked about the fact that love and what? Forgiveness, they kind of go hand in hand. And I believe that a lot of times in our churches, this is the thing that as saints, we have not come into the maturity of love. Because if we really understood the love of God, we would be more respectable to the people that we come in contact with when we come to church. We would not hold grudges. We will not be prejudiced because of skin color or whatever it is. And the thing is that the power of God is missing from our churches, because there is a lack, our level of love, of maturity, is way down. There's a lack of love. Someone wrongs you, and you say, "Man, I'm leaving that church. Forget you. I'm gone." And there is a level, the respect is gone, and there's a lack of love a lot of times in our congregations. So we see here that this hindrance right here, number four, is very important, because this right here can literally block at the answers of you praying to God and receiving from God. Now, let's go back to love again. So we understand that the Ten Commandments, we went over the Ten Commandments. And then in the New Testament, Jesus now introduced, and he's saying that you can hang all these Ten Commandments on these two things. All right, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you a question. Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Okay, let's think about it for a second. Let us hang there for a little bit. New law of love that takes the place. This new law of love, it takes the place of the old Ten Commandments. So now Jesus introduced a new law of love, which is going to take the place of the Ten Commandments. Why do you say that? Because if I love my neighbor as myself, I will not steal from my neighbor. I would not commit adultery. I would not kill. I will honor my father and my mother. And the list kind of goes on and on and on. So in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, love one another as I have loved you, and this is the new command. And Jesus now fulfilled a new covenant with his blood. So therefore, this new commandment now takes the place of the Ten Commandments. Now let's look at, for instance, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17. We're getting here with this thing here. Are you getting something? I'm sure you are. Verses 17. Now let's look at verse 17. It says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law." Who is speaking here? You're right. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." To fulfill. Now also we see in Galatians chapter 5, verses 14, it says, "All the law is fulfilled in one word." What could be that one word? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If we wholly practice loving our neighbors as ourselves and walking in love, then you see that your prayers are becoming more vibrant, more powerful when you're walking in that level of love. Now, in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6, we now Jesus, we understand he introduced this, the new covenant. And he talked about in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6, that it's established on better covenant, which is established on better promises. So compared to the Old Testament, he says there's a better promises. So we see that God is a God that operates in love. Now, look at this word picture now. We see in the Old Testament where God took his finger. Moses went up into the mountain, and God took his finger and wrote on the tablets, all right, the Ten Commandments. But now in the New Testament, we see now God now takes that finger. Who do you think that finger represents? The finger of God is the Holy Spirit. He now takes the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit now writes those commandments, not on table of stones, but now he writes it and engraves it in our heart. In other words, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we now have the nature of God now comes and lives on the inside of us. We have the love of God, not just the man type of love, but we have the love of God that is now on the inside of us. Now that gives us the opportunity to now pray for our enemy. Pastor, you say pray for my enemy? How in the world can I do that? Well, I just told you that the fact that now God has now given you his love in your heart. I believe the scripture says that the love of God is shed abroad or poured out, all right, in full in our heart. You see that? Now, I want us to actually just kind of take a look at this word love, because we know that love goes along with unforgiveness. I mean, love goes along with forgiveness. If we love someone, we are going to what? Yes, we're going to forgive them. We're going to forgive them. Now, it's very important that we know that God is a loving God. If I was to ask someone, what is one of the main scriptures? And like John 3:16, we can blurt it out and we can recite it back and forth. He said, "For God so what? Love the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son." Now let's take a look deeper at this word love. Now, when we look at this word love in the Greek, when you're getting ready to now define it, there are different Greek words that define this word love. In our days, you know, we say that we love everything. I love this cake. I love my car. I love my new house. And we use the word just kind of flippantly, just, hey, it's just love. I love this. I love that. No, I believe that God says this should be exclusively used for the things that pertain to me, meaning God. Now, let's look at this love. The word love, there are different words. Like, for instance, the word, a Greek word for love is eros, or eros, E-R-O-S. That's a romantic love. That's a love between a husband and a wife. Eros, or eros type of love. Then we see the word philia. P-H-I-L-I-A. That gives you now an affectionate love, a brotherly or friendship. There's a place, you remember a city in Pennsylvania called Philadelphia. Philadelphia, that's the same. It's a city of what? Brotherly love, philia. We see a third word, storge. It means a familiar love. This is similar to philia, but now it talks more of a love in the dynamics of a family. All right, that's the love that I have for my brother, the love that I have for my daughter. It's a storge type of love. But you notice that God did not use any type of these love, but he used the word agape. This word speaks of unconditional love. That means that God loves you with an unconditional love. I know my time is kind of getting kind of short here, but I just want to kind of drop this on you. Those that you say that, Pastor, I have done some wrong things in my life, and I don't know if I can ever be forgiven. You made of did some things that was not even lawful. And you said, Pastor, this thing has been weighing me down. I'm not sure exactly what to do. But I believe that God says that, listen, all you have to do is just ask me to forgive you. And you said, Pastor, it's just like that? Yeah. He says, from your heart to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me of what I've done. Cleanse me. And those that were saved, or those are even saved, and they have done something that they slipped up and they did something. The scripture says that he is faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see that this particular word on forgiveness is very, very important. Take this time right now to think about, or even jot it down on the paper, things or people that you have held in your heart and you said, I refuse to forgive, and says, Lord, help me to forgive these individuals. Help me to forgive my former pastor. Help me to forgive my former boss. Help me to forgive my best friend who turned away, turned back on me. Help me to forgive. And I believe that God says, I will meet you as long as you do it in a sincerity. Amen? Well, I believe that this is some really good information that you're getting here. And I really encourage you just to call us at 561-383-6574. Those that don't have a church, a home church, I guarantee you that you come into an atmosphere like this. If you don't grow, it's because you didn't want to grow. And I believe that we have a team here, pastors here that will just literally put their arms around you and to help you to walk and to develop in the things. And I know you want to grow. I can tell, I can see it in your eyes that you want to grow. Now, I pray that God's favor will be upon you, and let this day, this Monday, be a day where it will be full of favor. Those who are looking for jobs, I pray that they may receive those jobs. Those who are looking for healing, we declare, Father God, you sent your word and you healed. I love you. I praise you, Father. We give you the glory. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
Hi, this is David Francoeur. I'm a producer here at WCNO. You know, God has given this radio ministry a big vision. It was this big vision that inspired almost three decades of building a solid foundation for broadcasting the gospel. The power of this godly vision still moves us to give you the best in Christian teaching and music every day of the year. You are a part of this vision because WCNO is a listener-supported broadcast ministry. You may have already received a letter announcing our fall prayer and share fundraising broadcast beginning Monday, October 21st. Your prompt response to this appeal will be greatly appreciated. And during the days of prayer and share, tune in to 89.9 FM and listen to God's ongoing vision for this ministry, what He is